But I'm just going to sort of talk to you about what podcasting is, you know, why it's worth doing, that sort of thing, and give you some kind of basic information about how you might go about sort of making a podcast. So for those of you wondering, what is a podcast? You might have heard this phrase a few times now. Podcast is one of these horrible kind of it's a portmanteau word, I think is the term. It's actually sort of an amalgamation of the word iPod and broadcast. So I'm assuming you know what broadcast means. But the word iPod is, an iPod is sort of a portable MP3 player. So if you listen to MP3s, you can put them on your iPod and walk around listening to music or podcasts or whatever on your portable MP3 player in your pocket. So you have iPod and broadcast makes podcast, which is one of my least favourite words in the entire English language. So that's what the etymology of the word podcast is. What actually is a podcast? Well, first of all, a podcast is an audio recording. As you can see here, we're recording audio. There's another horrible word, which is vodcast, which is an amalgamation of video, iPod, and broadcast. So a vodcast is a video which you can download.
Drink.
But today we're talking about audio recording. So a podcast is an audio recording. It's distributed via the internet or the web, and it's something which listeners can download to keep. That's where sort of the iPod element of the word comes in. You can actually download the audio to your phone or your MP3 player or whatever, and keep it. So I go running around Victoria Park, which is incredibly boring. So what I often do is download 3 or 4 podcasts and listen to those while running around Victoria Park. It's only 2 kilometres, so try and run around there, and, you know, 5 times, you're seeing it very, very bored indeed. So that's what podcasts are useful for, is you can actually download those to your portable MP3 players and listen to them when you're away from your computer. So this leads to the obvious question: why bother producing podcasts? You know, why not just stick with your blog or your book or your newspaper articles or something less technological? I think there's really 2 answers here, sort of as you can see from the bullet points. First of all, it's an interesting way to promote your work. It's something a bit different, isn't it? As I was just saying, people can sort of download them to their devices and listen to them while they're on the move and that sort of thing. So you're accessing a whole chunk of people's time which would otherwise be unused. You know, my sense of hearing while I'm doing laps in Victoria Park. I'm not going to be reading a book or anything like that while I'm doing that. So there's this whole opportunity there to you know, have some of my time, which is you know, what people who produce podcasts get to do. So it's kind of an interesting, different way to promote your work. And also, although it's kind of a bit technological, it is something which is relatively easy because you don't have to write anything and you don't have to produce pictures. It is just, for the most part, an audio recording. That's something which they probably realise in this context, because I would have to be giving these talks anyway, whether they were recording it or not. So it's actually relatively easy to put that extra thing on top of it and record it and produce a podcast. So that's kind of the idea of, you know, why you might produce podcasts, because they're interesting and not too difficult to produce. So one of the things which you may have encountered is the BBC podcast. And BBC has hundreds of podcasts of various radio shows that it produces. Also, you know, people can produce podcasts of things like recordings of lectures, discussions, and debates. When I was sort of doing my PhD, I gave a sort of lecture it's called the Institute of Historical Research in London. They recorded that while I was doing it, and that's available as a podcast, should you wish to listen to it. Policing in 18th century Bristol, it's not that interesting. So that was the thing. I was giving a lecture anyway, and they recorded it and made a podcast of it. So that would be an example of something which was podcasted. Also, there are some people, and actually some people make quite a lot of money from doing this now, actually producing scripted or planned podcasts. So actually producing original content for the purpose of podcasting and nothing else, if you see what I mean. Some people actually are so popular that they can charge a subscription for people to download their podcasts. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about here. And that scripted content would kind of be probably quite like a radio show or something like that. There's a good one called Answer Me This, which is quite popular. And also you can get podcasts of things like documentaries, which people have produced, things like music people have produced, often sort of independent musicians or whatever will release their music in the form of a podcast, which people can download and take away. And really, you can podcast any kind of sound, so oral history recordings or sound recordings that you have, anything like that. So some of you may be thinking, you know, what is the difference between a podcast, which is an audio recording that you can download from the internet, and what's the difference between that and just, you know, a song that you can download from the internet or a sound recording that you can download from the internet? The answer is there isn't much kind of intrinsic difference at all. I suppose the main difference is really just people call this thing podcasts, other people will just call them sound recordings or whatever. Probably the most prominent difference is that podcasts often appear periodically or in some kind of sequential manner. So if you think of BBC podcasts, every time From Our Own Correspondent is on, they produce a podcast. So there's hundreds of episodes of this podcast going back sort of into history. So there is kind of a periodical element to podcasts, which maybe that's the thing which perhaps tends to distinguish them from just audio recording in general. And that might be a way to catch people's interest. If you do a weekly podcast or a monthly podcast or something like that, that might draw people in because they'll come back. But really, there is quite a lot of overlap. You don't have to do that. With these podcasts that we're making at the moment, as I say, it's not something I'm actually doing, but as far as I know, I don't think they're planning to release them, you know, on a weekly or a monthly basis. I think it's just all going to go up at the same time. But it will be a sort of collection of materials, because there'll be this session on there, there'll be a previous session as a separate podcast, there'll be podcasts from previous weeks. There will be a kind of distinctive collection, rather than just, you know, some sound files. So, I mean, there are a couple of issues which are coming through here. So I'm only doing a sort of brief talk on this because something I can sort of discuss more with groups who are sort of doing work, because you've all got my contact details, or most of you should do, and, you know, it's often easier to talk to people individually about their issues rather than, you know, the group as a whole. But there are a couple of issues which you need to consider about doing podcasts. First of all, is that podcasts are publications, so you need to think about copyright. You know, audio has copyright in it as well. So if you want to use things like music, then that's an issue. That if that music is copyrighted, then either you can't use it, or you need to pay a fee to the PRS, who are the people who collect music fees, I believe. So there's the first issue, and also, you know, these sound recordings are copyrighted as well. So presumably what I'm saying at the moment has a copyright to it, which will go to somebody. So there are issues, you know, around copyright, which you need to be aware of, and also issues around consent. You know, who is it you're interviewing? If you're taking snippets of oral history which you have and trying to put those into a kind of interesting format, there's all those consent issues there, which most of you have done kind of oral history training, haven't you? Which you should be aware of. You know, what people say is private often. So what I was going to talk to you about is a little bit about just going through the stages. How do I actually produce a podcast? There's not a lot of detail here for matters of time, and because I don't actually think it's helpful to bombard you with information in a kind of lecture format. But if you have any other questions, I'm you know, happy to answer by email or phone or whatever, as I was just saying. So really, I think there's four stages to producing a podcast. First of all, we're talking about audio. So stage number one is always going to be gathering the audio that you're going to use. That's either going to be through using recording equipment, or it's going to be through finding pre-existing recordings that you have. So if you're talking about using oral history research that you've previously done, podcasting that, or here they're going to, you know, have an archive of material that we're going to hand over to them for them to produce the podcast. So you may have some pre-existing material, but otherwise you're going to need to record your own stuff. I'll say a little bit more about that in a bit. Secondly, you're going to need editing software. So once you've got your recordings, you need a method of getting it onto your computer, and then a method of editing it into a form, an MP3 file, which you can then distribute to people. Thirdly, you need to upload it to the internet, so it actually needs to go onto the internet and be somewhere on the internet, you know, stored there rather than on your own computer. And then fourthly, and Therese actually sort of covered this already in her talk, you need a method to add it to a website or to a method that people can actually find it in some way once it's actually online. Yes. I don't think I've got any more handouts, just check. That's fine. Yeah. So, stage number one, and this really does overlap quite a lot with those of you who have had some oral history training in terms of what you would be doing. There's sort of several ways you can do it, really. First of all, you can get digital recording equipment, such as this. This is a Zoom H1. So the kind of stuff that you would use to make oral history recordings is actually eminently adaptable to producing podcasts, because it's basically the same thing. I think these Zoom H1s are not especially expensive, less than £100, I think. So if you're really interested in this, it might be something worth investing in. Secondly, what you can do is, as I said here, if you've got a computer, most computers have the ability to record sound in some way, or you can get a microphone input relatively cheaply, actually put that into your computer and record straight from that. Or you can do something like, if you have a mini disc player or a tape player, you can record onto that and transfer to computer. You can sometimes borrow those from places. I mean, also with the recording equipment as well. I'm not sure whether the Eastman's Oral History Archive lends stuff out for podcasting, but there may be sort of people you know or whoever who can lend you this stuff. Actually, thinking about it more, the fourth thing here would be that many smartphones and actually many computers have the ability to record audio as well, quite a good audio. So you could use that as a sort of fourth alternative. So I think we can sort of talk about this in more detail another time if you want to sort of talk about this. Or Colin Hyde would be a very good person to ask. He would know a great deal about this. But the first stage is using recording equipment to actually get this stuff, recorded. In terms of editing software, well, I have got a handout out here for you, I just remembered, and I've kind of got some more information on here about that. But I think really the best piece of audio recording software which I can tell you about today is this program called Audacity. And it's a very simple and free computer program which you can use to edit recordings, audio recordings. And it's nice because it gives you a nice visual interface. And you can very easily kind of, delete bits from your recordings, add things like a fade in or a fade out, and then when you're done, you can export to a file format such as MP3, which is suitable for uploading on the web. So, and Audacity is a free program which you can find on the internet just by searching for Audacity, although I've given you the address on this handout here. So there's free software, so that's not something to really be too worried about, in terms of how much this is going to cost you. So this is what Audacity looks like. I realise it looks a bit daunting. I'll turn the lights off. This is actually the recording from the previous event that we did. And you can see it's just got sort of the sound waves of people talking. And what you can do is just sort of click and drag sections and sort of delete them, or click and drag sections and copy them elsewhere. So once you've got this kind of long audio recording, it's quite easy to kind of delete sections from it and edit it down a little bit. To make it sort of more palatable for human consumption, and see at the top on the menu, at the top there's things like effects. So if you want to add in sort of a fade in at the start, so it doesn't start really loud, fades in gently, you can do things like that very easily. And once you've done your editing, it's just a case of going file, export, and then it'll export an MP3 for you. So it looks a bit daunting, but it's actually not. It's just, you can see there's like a time scale along the top there. So this is just your audio recording, and you could just sort of select a bit of it, or select the part of it you wanted, and delete the rest, and then make your recording from that. And you can add bits of recording as well if you're trying to amalgamate various things. So it works fairly well. So how do you upload your content to the internet? This is something that Therese was talking about earlier on. We've been talking about sites like Flickr, which will host photos for you. We'll be talking about sites like Blogger and WordPress, which will host blogs for you. Teresa's talking about that website SlideShare, which will host slides for you. There's a website which will host pretty much anything for you, you know, if it's digital. And what that includes is that there are actually websites which will host sound for you, which is what you would need if you're producing podcasts, which are audio files. So the two main ones, which, as Therese said earlier on, are SoundCloud and Audioboom. And these are two websites which is very easy just to upload sound recordings to. Of course, what you can do, I think we were talking about this last week, if you've got a sound recording, if you want to have video going, if you want to have sort of pictures or a slideshow going at the same time, how would you do that? Well, there's actually a program called Google Picasa, which you can use to do that. If you've got sort of a folder full of files, it's very easy to make what it calls sort of a video slideshow, where if you have the audio, it will sort of space the photos and sort of fade them in and out, so the photos kind of change like a slideshow while you're talking. So that's a very nice way to make a video with sort of sound and pictures, which you can then upload to websites such as YouTube. So these websites are very easy to use. I mean, if you actually visit SoundCloud, it's just a case of registering an account, and then it has a very clear upload form where you just upload your file from your computer to SoundCloud. It's not something I'm going to go through kind of because of the time, but it's really very simple indeed to use. So the fourth stage is once you've uploaded your audio or your video with sound and pictures to SoundCloud or Audioboom or YouTube, or there are actually many other places where you host these things. Once you've done that, you need to add it to your website, or you need to promote it on whatever it is you're using. So that could be if you're using Twitter or Facebook or something like that. That could just be the case of, you know, putting a link, you know, writing a quick tweet, here's my new podcast, and then the link. That would be fine, or posting the link on Facebook or something like that. What many of these sites actually enable you to do, and Therese was showing you this earlier on, wasn't she, of that recording from Radio Leicester, which she'd uploaded to SoundCloud and then embedded on the University of Leicester's website. What these sites enable you to do is actually share the sound that you've uploaded onto your blog or onto your website, that sort of thing. So it's embedded. So it's really very easy. So I just went on SoundCloud, I quickly registered an account and made a quick sound recording of just some noise, just to play around with it. You can see I've sort of done a screenshot here of the website. There's a share button, which is very, very prominent. And it gives you a link, which you can just copy and then share on your Twitter or whatever. Or indeed, you can just click the Facebook or the Twitter icon or whatever to share it automatically. Or you can share the link. Or also gives you a thing called a widget code, which is a piece of code that you can actually put onto your website to get the recording on there. So it's a case of just copying the widget code. And then going to your blog and just pasting that widget code onto your blog. So you see there, that's the sort of blog posting window with the widget code. You can see that bit of code there is the same. See, iframe width equals 100%.
Yeah.
Iframe width equals 100%. Just a case of copying and pasting it on there and then clicking publish. Okay, so it's not too hard to actually, once you've got this sound recording, to upload it and then share it on a blog or your website or Twitter or whatever you want to do. The only thing I would say to you is people may want to download these things, these audio recordings, so they can listen to them away from their computers. Like I was saying earlier, they may want to take them so they can go running and listen to them or whatever. What you need to do is in the settings on websites like SoundCloud and Audioboom, there definitely is an option in there to allow downloads. So you just need to go through and make sure you've ticked that box, which is allow people to download. Simple as that. And that will enable people to download it. So it's not a long process, it's more of a difficult process to actually get from once you've got your audio recording, just to upload it to something like SoundCloud, put it on your blog, and then people will be able to get it from there, or link to it from your Twitter feed or whatever it is you're using.
The recordings we've made have been wild, I think.
Yeah.
Because of the quality for broadcast. So is it easy to then convert that to MP3 if you just for your blog or something.
Yeah, it is very easy to do that. Audacity will do that for you. You can sort of load files in WAV in Audacity and then export them to MP3. You can also, with MP3, you can get various quality settings as well, depending on whether you want a smaller file size or a larger file size. If it's just people speaking, then probably a smaller file size would be the thing to go for. So that's very easy. One thing is, if you're dealing with these kind of issues, generally it's better to try and work in WAV if you can, while you're recording and things like that, and then convert to MP3 at the very end, because an MP3 is a compressed format, so you throw a load of information away when you convert to MP3, and you can never get that information back. So it's best to keep working with the high quality WAVs until the very last moment, and then convert, if that makes sense. Okay, well, thanks for coming. I'll be here for a while, sort of tidying up and things like that. So if you have any more questions or anything else you want to discuss, that's fine.